Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. Max Chadwick alongside Dalton Wasserman here, breaking down our top 10 edge defenders in the 2025 NFL Draft. Dalton, it is a loaded class at edge rusher this year. Edge and defensive line is a really good defensive line class overall. So it's going to be fun to break down these top 10 guys with you today. And there's a lot of guys we left off the list that we still are big fans of too.
A super talented group of edge defenders. We're going to say the same thing about interior defenders as well. This defensive line class as a whole has so much talent and so much depth. It was tough to narrow it down to just 10 guys. And then it was tough even, as we'll see, to put them in the order that we felt was the best for each of our opinions. And we're going to have a lot of differences here, if albeit small differences. But you're talking about, I think, too, a lot of different types of players, stand-up guys, down 4-3 defensive ends. You got some freaks at the very top. I think we've got a ton of we got a ton to talk about with this defensive line class. It's going to continue to be a theme all the way through draft weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah, as a guy we were talking about pre-show, Josiah Stewart, who, spoiler alert, is not in our top 10, but we both love him. I have an edge 11 right now in this class.
Oh, there's so many guys. I mean, this is an episode that if we felt like it, we could have expanded to a top 20 and realistically been like, wow, these guys could all go in the first 2 days of the draft. It's an incredible defensive line group, one of the deepest units we've seen in a long time.
Absolutely. But we're breaking down the top 10 for you guys today, and we're using a lot of PFF stats while breaking down these top 10 players. All of those stats are available to you guys with a PFF Plus subscription at subscribe.pff.com. You get access to those grades for every player and team in the NFL and college football. And if you want to draft some of these edge rushers, you can do it with our mock draft simulator. You can draft a full 7 rounds for your favorite team or all 32 NFL teams, and you could trade players and trade picks with that mock draft simulator. The best mock draft simulator on the planet is available at subscribe.pff.com. All right, Dalton, before we break down the top 10, who is your sleeper in this class? A guy who's not going to be taken probably in the first 3 rounds of the NFL draft, but a guy who will be going on day 3 that you're a big fan of.
Could be close, because I think right now the consensus board, he's just outside the top 100. We're going to talk about a couple of Ole Miss edge rushers today. I'm going to start with one, Jared Ivey. And I think what you're talking about here is a player who has very quick hands for such a big guy. He's 280-plus pounds, versatile player who some think is an edge player, some think is an interior player, maybe a little bit of both. I think it's kind of that just defensive lineman label as opposed to one or the other. And you know, someone in our scouting staff beat me to it, because when I was going over watching his tape this week again, I had the name John Franklin Myers come to mind, right? Former New York Jet, 4th-round pick, who's carved out a really nice career for himself. Now he's in Denver with Sean Payton, and somebody who's just got that versatility to do a little bit of everything, fill every gap you need to, got the length. I thought Ivy got better at using his extension, using his length this season more so than past years when he'd really fight in close quarters more than he needed to. But I think when you have a guy who's a really good tackler, b, getting better at using length and staying gap sound, I think that was a problem in past years that he got a lot better with again in 2024, and then someone who's just able to line up in any front, in any spot. And it's something he talked about at the combine, being able to understand the defense as a whole and what his role is in it, even going all the way back to thinking about, you know, he was talking about, okay, what is the coverage shell behind me and why do I need to be where I need to be at. I think a very intelligent player, someone who got a lot better particularly in run defense in 2024. He's a versatile guy, maybe not the highest pass rush ceiling. I don't think he has a wicked explosive first step, right? I don't think he's a guy who's going to give you that 10 to 15 sack range, but he's somebody who could fit in a lot of defenses because of his size and his versatility.
He might be the strongest edge rusher in the 2025 NFL draft. This guy has ridiculous power in those hands. That's why I think his best role might be as a 3-4 defensive end, because, like I said, he might not have the speed or the flexibility to be a 4-3 defensive end, but I'm a big fan of Jared Ivey as well. I think he's a really, really good player. Where do I have him? I had him in edge 15 right now in the NFL draft. He's a very good player. Again, likely going to be a 4th-round pick on draft day, but I'm a big fan of his game overall. Big fan of a lot of Ole Miss defensive players in this year's draft. It is a loaded defense and a loaded defense for the NFL draft coming from Mississippi. But a guy I loved, Dalton, a guy that we've loved for multiple years now, is Ashton Gelati from Louisville. Again, I was watching his tape, and I fell in love with him over again because, last year, he's one of our top 5 edges in America. Had, you know, wasn't as a big of a year as maybe some other guys, and, you know, I think people kind of forgot about him, but he's had 85-plus PFF grades in each of the last 2 seasons, 90 pass rush grade over the last 2 years, 85 run defense grade over the last 2 years. And, you know, I mentioned Jared Ivey might be the strongest edge we're talking about on this list. Well, Ashton Jelani is not too far behind either, man, because he is a very strong player. Excellent leg drive, a powerful upper body as well, an explosive first step. And we have this metric at PFF called our GAS score, game athleticism score metric. Measure your size, your speed, change of direction, all these different things go into it using GPS tracking on your tape. Ashton Jelani was a 100th percentile athlete in that metric. So he's a very good athlete. Did not really test out the combine too much, but we'll see what he does at the pro day. Very physical player overall at 6'3", 264 pounds. Now, the issues with Jelani and why he's probably going to be a fourth round pick in the draft, very, very short arms. He has 31 7/8 inch arms, fourth percentile for edges. Doesn't really have a great bend either, despite being a shorter player. And his hand usage could be a little more precise, but really productive player over the last couple of years, both as a pass rusher and as a run defender. Again, not the longest player, not the bendiest edge rusher either, but he's a very powerful player with really good athleticism as well. I think he could be a steal for somewhere on day three.
He can really run for 270 plus. I mean, you see him get into the backfield and get the motor running. He's really fast for a guy that size. And I think the other thing that stands out to me, much like it does with Ivy, I think you've picked a similar player in Jelani in the sense that he can play anywhere on the defensive line, right? Yep. I've seen him line up in a zero, head up over the center, all the way out to a wide nine. You could put Jelani in any alignment, and I think that's why he's going to be valuable, even if he is an early day three pick, because any team with any defense, I don't think it's scheme specific with him. If a team feels like, okay, we want him head up over the tackle, cool. If we want him in on passing downs on the inside to add to one of those NASCAR packages, then cool. I think Jelani and Ivy both, the versatility is something that helps them a lot. He's shown enough power on the inside and enough speed on the outside to be able to be a mid-round pick in this draft.
So those are two guys that we are big fans of that did not make our top 10 of our list, but should be available on day three, and we think could both be steals on day three of the NFL draft. Jared Ivey from Ole Miss, Ashton Jelani from Louisville. Now let's get into our top 10 edge rushers in the draft. Dolan, who is your number 10 through 6?
So it's funny because it's going to be one of the very few things that we agree on today, because we've got, as we'll see in a bit, wildly different orders. But I've got the other Ole Miss edge rusher, Princely Umanmielen, at number 10. I think you've just got a guy for 3 years in college football, both at two at Florida, and then this year at Ole Miss. He's been an elite college football pass rusher for the last couple of years. He's a natural with it. He's got a long wingspan that he uses to his advantage out in space as a wide nine, especially a stand-up edge rusher. Starts with lengths, able to kind of twist and adjust his shoulders. That's a big thing for me as a pass rusher. If you can dip your shoulders and adjust to what offensive tackles are doing out there on the outside, started to bring a nice counter spin move here the second half of this year with Ole Miss. I think you just have somebody who is a natural pass rusher, right? There's that part, and then the wingspan and open space really gives run games problems, especially when you talk about defending the read option. So I think there are times when he could be a little bit better of a tackler. I think there are times when he could be a little more controlled, especially with his approach in the run game. But I think early on, I think as a second round, I think he's like the consummate second round pass rusher, right? Where you can definitely get him some work early in his career as a pass rusher. You get him a little bit stronger. You get him a little bit more balanced and controlled in the run game to become an every down player. But the pass rush potential and what we've seen the last 3 years from Princely really deserves, I think, something close to a top 50 selection.
I agree. I think he's really could be a good immediately in his career as a designated pass rusher, and then hopefully develop into more of that throughout his career. But 80 plus pass rush grades in four straight seasons, coming in from Florida to Ole Miss. So 80 plus pass rushing grades in four straight years in the SEC, a 91.5 pass rush grade this past year. Excellent first step, really good flexibility, really good bend, has a really nice dip and rip move and a good spin move as well. And he's got above average length at 33 7/8 inches. But like you mentioned, the footwork, the hand usage could be a little cleaned up right now. Not really great at anchoring against the run at only 244 pounds. Either in the run game for him, he's either going to penetrate and make plays in the backfield or get blown off the line of scrimmage. That's really all you see with Princely
Umanmielen. One thing he really needs to work on, okay, is reading down the line of scrimmage, like when pullers are coming at him, he has a hard time. Kind of, I don't know if it's seeing or just reading the offensive line laterally, but you see him take the first shot a lot when teams run power and counter and things like that in his direction. I think that's really that, or even wham blocks from tight ends. It feels like in run defense, he has a very see ball, get ball mentality, and there's times even down there on the defensive line, you have to be able to read what the offensive line is doing. If you're not touched off the snap of the ball, there is a reason for it. Either you're getting optioned, or there's someone coming screaming your way. I think if he could, I think he even in run defense, he could prepare himself a little bit better mentally for those situations, and he would get a lot better.
Absolutely, yeah. I think his balance could be improved a little bit too. And like I said, as a specialized outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense, he could be really, really effective. But he'll likely never be able to set the edge in the run game. But I think he'll be able to be someone who makes plays in the backfield, was the pass rusher and as a run defender, because he did make some plays as a run defender, been making tackles for loss. But again, setting the edge in the run game wasn't really a specialty at Ole Miss or at Florida. So both for number 10 for us is Princely, Monmiel, and Dawn. Who, let's go through 9 through 6 with you. Who are number 9 through 6?
So my number 9 is Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, who I know has been a hot name since the combine. My number 8 is his teammate Nick Scorton from Texas A&M. Number 7, I have Jalen Walker, who we do have to kind of sort of figure out the position with him in the NFL, but I think he would be better served as an edge rusher. And number 6, I have his teammate Mykel Williams from Georgia. So I'm in the SEC with the entire back half of my top 10 here.
I am not in my entire SEC, but I do have a lot of the same guys. I have Princely Monmielen, obviously, number 10. Mykel Williams at number 9. Jalen Walker, number 8. Shamar Stewart, number 7. And Mike Green from Marshall is my number 6 edge in this class. Let's get to Shamar Stewart first. I think that's the guy that, you know, you at number 9, I had my at number 7. He might go number 9 or number 7 in the NFL draft overall, Dawn. This is a guy who might be a top 10 pick overall, but we obviously are a little bit lower on him than most people right now. What is there to like about Shamar Stewart, and then what are the things that you're kind of looking for him to improve on?
So for both of us, I mean, I think we believe this. Tape is king, right? And even the grades are a reflection of the tape, and you've got more information there on the grades as well. But I think, I mean, the first thing, you do look at him on a football field or at the combine, where he had one of the best combines we've seen from an edge player, and you go, okay, that's a freakish guy. That looks like a guy who could take a game over, and I'll tell you, he is a very, very good run defender. In a class with a lot of excellent run defenders, he's got a big wingspan. He uses that length. He uses that power. There's times even laterally where I really like the lateral step that he gives playing off of moves in the run game. The strength and the power is evident. You saw it in the explosiveness at the combine. And I even wonder if he could play as a wide nine edge rusher and use that length and power a little more often. Now, I think the big question for me is about finishing plays, is about a pass rush arsenal, and it's about, look, I know ball production, and we're ones who believe, obviously, that pressure over sacks is king, and the more often that you have pressures, fantastic, but it feels like there's so far to go with him when it comes to ball production. Even in the run game, finishing plays with tackles and tackles for loss and things of that nature, he's very good at beating his blocker and using his power and length to beat blockers, but eventually, I need plays on the ball. And in the, you know, the number that's been thrown out there is 4.5 sacks in his college career. How much of Shamar Stewart is the projection and the what if, right? Because I'm of, you know, and there are some of this mind that some people want to know, okay, this is how good a football player this guy is right now. With a little more to go, anybody can get better. And then there are teams, I think about like Shamar Stewart being a guy that, say somebody like a Trent Baalke, if he was still running the Jaguars, would probably love with all the measurables. Some people are measurables and combine and athletic potential people. Me, not as much. It's obviously a factor, but I think there's still plenty of flaws in his tape, especially as a pass rusher, that can be fixed. So would I take him, say, at a spot like 8th overall to Carolina? I would not.
Yeah.
I get the potential. I get the ceiling. But there is, when you watch his tape, there is a ways to go when it comes to his technique, especially as a pass rusher.
So what are you thinking, like more late first round, early second round right now?
Yeah, I think that's the range where I would think about him if I was a team, even, I don't know, let's just say Washington at 29. Like, that's a high upside play you could make at that pick and go, okay, this guy a year or two from now could be a monster in our defense, right? But to take that gamble on a team, let's say Carolina, who needs a star defensive lineman right this minute, I don't think Shamar is a right this minute guy. I think he's a guy that you take and you think about, okay, 2 years from now. Remember when the Bills took Greg Rousseau, I think sometime in the 20s, and now in his third, fourth, fifth year, he's coming in to being a star player. That's the idea that I would have for Shamar. And I know, again, the athletic traits, if people like the A-plus athletic traits and what we saw at the combine, you're going to take him higher than me. I get it. It's a loaded group, right? Last year, he may have been edge 4 in last year's class, right? But that's the difference for me, is how much do you value the theoretical ceiling versus what we have seen at Texas A&M for 3 years?
And you and I think both, we do factor in the ceiling and what guys are athletically, but like I said, tape is king for both of us at least. And the tape is lacking compared to some of the other top edges we have in this draft. Now, there is some argument to be made that, hey, Texas A&M, look at Nick Scorton as well, didn't really allow them to be fully unleashed, right? You look at, you know, what they were doing at Texas A&M, really at Purdue for Nick Scorton. We'll talk about this for later, but like at Purdue, he was able to pin his ears back and rush the passer. At Texas A&M, they're more concerned with the run game, so it's more reading and reacting. So you're not really, you know, pinning your ears back and trying to go get the quarterback. That could hurt you as a pass rusher, and that could hurt Shamar Stewart. And what I'll say for Shamar Stewart as well, he's had as good of a pre-draft process as you could possibly have right now. He was the highest graded player at the Senior Bowl, 93.4 grade during the week of practice at the Senior Bowl. And in terms of the combine, had a perfect 10 score in the relative athletic score made by Kent Lee Platt. Go check him out at MathBomb on Twitter. This is an awesome thing where he has numbers for every player at the combine from like the 90s to now, and basically takes all the measurables into one composite ranking, kind of like our gas score, but is for the combine. He had a perfect 10, which means he is quite literally, in terms of his numbers, the most athletic edge rusher we've ever seen at the combine, because he had 6'5", 267 pounds, 34-inch arms, who's really, really good size, 10-foot, 11-inch broad jump, 98th percentile for edge rushers, 40-inch vertical, 96th percentile for edge rushers, 1.58 second 10-yard split, 91st percentile for edge rushers, and a 4.59 40 is 90th percentile. Again, 4.59 at almost 270 pounds is crazy for Shamar Stewart. He's got violent hands, speed to power, obviously, as by the, you can see by those numbers, is very good. Impressive bend, I thought, as at his size as well. And like I said, he has an 89.7 run defense grade this past year. He's really able to set the edge. Now, the pass rush production, only a 65 pass rush grade this past year. Hand placement needs a lot of work. He kind of misses his punches sometimes and mistimes his punches. And not a lot of moves right now because he's kind of relying on his athletic gifts, but a lot of refinement needed for Shamar Stewart. But I'm excited to see what he can look like outside Texas A&M scheme, because he's got outrageous physical tools. And you even saw at the Senior Bowl, when they let him be a little more unleashed, he was dominant out there against some all-stars in that setting too. So I see the potential. I see why people love Shamar Stewart, but I'm with you. I'm more of like a late first round, early second round type guy.
I think a very wide range of outcomes for him. I think he could be one of the two or three best edges in this class when all is said and done, or he could drop out of this top 10 completely. I think you have a wide range of outcomes, and a team is going to have to understand we have to develop this guy properly to get him to where he needs to be.
Absolutely. So let's go to another guy, Dalton, that is honestly really similar in a lot of ways, I think, to Shamar Stewart, and that is Mykel Williams from Georgia, who, again, like Shamar Stewart, outstanding run defender throughout his entire career. He has an 86.6 run defense grade in his career. Really good size, like Shamar Stewart as well. 6'5", 260, 34 3/8 inch arms as well. Good speed to power, like Shamar Stewart, and a really good motor, I think, from Mykel Williams as well. But the issues with him, slow get off, consistently one of the last players to get out of his stance. Hand usage needs a lot of work as well. Doesn't really have any counter moves, and he's still raw as a pass rusher. His true pass rush grade throughout his career is a 71. That's in the 9th percentile over the last 3 years. So, again, like Shamar Stewart, like Trayvon Walker coming out of college, very athletic players, really good run defenders, but they're still very raw as pass rushers without really a lot of great production. So I think it's a very similar conversation that Mykel Williams has with Shamar Stewart. Now, the issue with Mykel, maybe why Shamar is overtaking him right now, he didn't play the Senior Bowl, and he didn't really do anything at the combine either. I do think Mykel's a really good athlete, but Shamar might be overtaking him because he did those two things. But in terms of how they are as players, they're very similar, I think.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you right now, Mykel's also an excellent athlete. You can see it on tape, especially at a guy, two guys that size who can move the way that they do, for sure. I think actually, so to me, why I have Mykel 6, I think he's like a little more solidified version of Shamar Stewart, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, I have a clearer picture of what he is. And again, like you mentioned, consistently low pass rush win rates. I think you mentioned it, the get off the ball needs some work. I think there's times too when he looks a little bit awkward in open space trying to make tackles right off the edge and things like that, or even in the backfield. But I think there are very clear positives with Mykel Williams too, right? He's got an ideal build, no question. He's got the frame to play off the edge, move inside. The versatility's big with him too. Yep. If you want to put him in there at a three technique sometimes, go for it. 3-4 defensive end. I think about a defense like the Arizona Cardinals with Jonathan Gannon.
Yep.
I mean, I know they already drafted a player like that in Darius Robinson last year, but doesn't hurt to have more talent. You know, he knows.
Same idea with Darius Robinson.
Exactly. Really. Yeah. It's a similar idea, an extremely strong player. an outstanding ability to extend and shed blockers in the run game. That's where it starts for me with Mykel Williams. If you need to improve your run defense, I think if you're a team in the second half of the first round that needs...
I know it's high, but Dallas just lost to Marcus Lawrence.
It might be a little high, but yeah, that would be... It would be a move. I would go, okay, that makes some sense. He needs development as a pass rusher for sure. He's got a solid swim move that we see, I think, more often in the run game than the pass game. He turns the corner really well on stunts. You can see it. He's very tight around the corner, things like that. If you open him up, it's just about winning those one-on-one battles. But I think the base of Mykel Williams' floor in run defense with his athleticism and his strength gives you, okay, that's a first-round pick, right? You know he's going to improve your defense. Dallas at 12, that's actually a fantastic call you just made. I hadn't really thought of that as a spot because I've been thinking the back end of the first round, but Dallas at 12 could make a lot of sense for Mykel just as a great compliment to Micah Parsons, right? And as much as who's their defense? Oh, it's Matt Eberflus now. Yeah. Okay, so you're talking about I think in that defense, he'd be playing off the edge. He'd be playing a true 4-3 defensive end in Matt Eberflus' defense. But I think a great compliment to Parsons, he would be there. That's what you're talking about. You are getting possibly an elite run defender in Mykel Williams with everything he can do and even the different alignments. I would even have a thought about on passing downs. All right, let's move him inside.
Yeah.
Why not? Put him against guards and see where it goes. Maybe he rushes with power inside better than that. But there's certainly, I think the floor is a little more solidified with Mykel than it is for Shamar Stewart. I think he is a good player. I think he's going to go to a team that feels like they need a big-time run defender, again, with pass rush upside.
Absolutely. And Mykel Williams right now, consensus board, is number 15 overall. So I think it's possible that Dallas is
in range. You're right. You're absolutely, because to me, and I've said this on the NFL show a couple of times, in free agency, I don't really know what they did to improve the run defense.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem. If drafting a guy like Mike, and I don't think with two veteran backs that they've signed, Javonte Williams and I'm blanking on the other one right now, but Miles Sanders.
Yes.
Miles, Penn State legend, Miles Sanders. And Javonte, I don't think they're going Ashton Jinty at 12, even if he's there. I think Mykel Williams would make a lot of sense in that spot. But that's the idea. You get a plus run defender, try to develop him into a pass rusher the very same way you would think with Shamar Stewart.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Mykel Williams, another guy that we like the potential of him and very similar to Shamar Stewart in a lot of regards, but maybe a little bit lower on him the consensus board right now. He's currently edge 4 on the consensus board, and we have him obviously a little bit lower in the back half of our top 10. A guy, Dalton, who is edge 2 on the consensus board right now is Mykel Williams' teammate. And that is Jalen Walker right now. So Jalen Walker, talk to me more about him because he's very different than Mykel Williams in a lot of ways.
Okay, so the edge 2 assumption there. I have him, where do I have him here? 7? I have him 7.
I have him 8, yeah.
Okay. The assumption there basically is that he's just a year behind the Abdul Carter curve.
That's what he's
going to be as good as Abdul Carter off the edge. I don't have proof of that. Yeah. I have maybe a little proof of that. I think as an edge player, he works a little more naturally as the pass rusher than he would at linebacker. Like, I would be a little worried about him playing linebacker full-time in the NFL just with his ability to read things, especially in coverage. But I think he would work best as an edge player. Look, athleticism jumps off the tape. Speed jumps off the tape. A weapon as a spy, right? If you're talking about trying to catch those guys like Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, Jalen Walker is going to be the guy that has eyes on him, right? But I think a pretty advanced set of pass rush moves when he's allowed to play in that alignment, right, off of the edge, and he's explosive off the edge. There's no question, I think, what he can do as a pass rusher. The problem is the size. Isn't he in the bottom 10 percentile of pretty much every size metric as far as edge players go? So he's got this tweener build to him. He's built like a linebacker with the skills of an edge player and built like an average size linebacker at that, right? And I know the versatility might appeal to some teams. I think, you know, I have no idea at all if he can defend the run off the edge. Mm-hmm. I have no idea at all. It's not a thing we've seen him do. When he lines up off the edge at Georgia, he rushes the passer. So I think that tweener status there with his build, yes, with his skills, with I think still some of the work that needs to be done if he's going to play linebacker, I would be most comfortable developing as an edge, but it's just the size, right? So it's like he's somewhere between, I have written down here, something between Devin White and Nolan Smith is Jalen Walker.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the right defense that can support a player like that, I think you're going to pass on him. Right? Like, if you're just asking him to be just, hey, edge setter, classic edge player, you know, yeah, rush the passer on, but I mean, I literally have no idea if he can defend the run off the edge.
Yeah.
I don't know. So
Wasn't very good at linebacker either.
Right, it wasn't great. I mean, again, he wins with speed. Guys get hands on him, not quite as good. Now, not many guys get their hands on him because he's so darn fast and he can move. But I think this is the biggest. This is going to be another big point of contention come this draft is what is Jalen Walker? Where does he fit? I think his skills say he's an edge player. His body doesn't. Now, what kind of defense are we putting him in that can either move him around or protect him from, I think, even especially just getting run right at in the run game on early downs?
Yeah, listen, he's a natural athlete, obviously. He's got a 99th percentile gas score, high-end pass rush potential, 19% pass rush win rate over the last 2 years. The versatility to play off-ball linebacker and play a little bit of edge as well, an explosive first step. But like you mentioned, Dolan, 6'1", 243 pounds. He has 32-inch arms. That is the fifth percentile for edge rushers, and he struggled as a run defender at that size, even playing mostly off-ball linebacker. So, again, freaky athletic tools who flashed high-end pass rushing potential, which makes him, you know, maybe some people believe he'd be like an Abdul Carter or Micah Parsons going from off-ball linebacker to edge, but he's a bit of a tweener more so than Carter or Parsons was, and there's a lot of concerns about whether or not he could be a long-term edge rusher or a linebacker in the NFL. And, you know, Trevor says it all the time, Dolan, there's versatile players and there's homeless players. And I don't think, you know, Jalen Walker will ultimately be a homeless player, but he'll need to show that he could be a capable player at either of those two spots or both of those spots, honestly, for a you know, more creative defensive coordinator so that he won't be a homeless player, won't turn into like an Isaiah Simmons, right? Where is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? And ultimately didn't really work at either because he just couldn't do either one of them full time. So it's going to be interesting with Jalen Walker. I have more concerns with him than I think a lot of other people do. I think he's going to go in the top 15 of the draft. I even think at number 8 overall to Carolina is a possibility for Jalen Walker. I wouldn't go nearly that high with him. I would take him in the back half of the first round. But this is a guy that's going to go in the top 15 because he has those athletic traits, and people see with Micah Parsons, they see with Abdul Carter and say, oh, there's another guy right here in Jalen Walker we can get, not at number 2 or 3 overall like Abdul Carter's going. We can get him more in the top 15. I'm just a little more skeptical that he can make that transition.
Look at the names of the guys you just mentioned, though. If he does hit into being one of those guys, I could tell you last year when Micah Parsons was on the field for the Cowboys, they were arguably the number one pass rush unit in football. When he was hurt, they couldn't get to the quarterback at all. Having that one guy, it's why the Browns are so adamant about keeping Myles Garrett. It's with the Cowboys with Parsons. It's whoever. You want to just name that guy. Nick Bosa with the 49ers is the only reason their pass rush functions at all right now. You get one of those guys, and this is why this is such a fun group to analyze on the whole, especially as a pass rusher, you change your whole defense. So that's if somebody's banking on Walker that high, that's what they're hoping is, again, we're just a year behind the Abdul Carter curve, and we think he could be that good.
And honestly, man, we had the same conversation last year with Harold Perkins, and I think it's very similar to what we're talking about Jalen Walker.
To be that small is tough.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the tweener stuff, and that's why we're concerned with Harold Perkins, but where is his fit in the NFL? I still have some of those concerns with Jalen Walker as well. There, no doubt they are electric pass rushers who are capable out there, but can they be, you know, long-term edge rushers in the NFL at that size? That's the question with Harold Perkins, the same question with Jalen Walker that we have right now. So it'd be very fascinating to talk about Walker the rest of the next couple months, and then obviously Harold Perkins is the same conversation next year as well. But before we get to our top five, because that kind of wraps up all the guys that we had in the back half of the top 10, because Dalton and I have very different rankings at the top of this edge class, but we got to talk about the sponsor of the show. That is Fabric by Gerber Life. What does your child's future success look like to you? A job they're passionate about, traveling around the world, or just being happy and comfortable? Whatever their journey, you can help make it easier to achieve with a kid's investment account from Fabric by Gerber Life. By making a contribution to your child's future today, you can help give them the means to pursue their dreams, big and small. Fabric by Gerber Life is designed by parents for parents to make it easy to plan for and manage your family's financial path. With a kid's investment account from Fabric, you can start investing in your child's future today. Kids can't invest when they're minors, but a kid's investment account allows you to invest on their behalf right now, giving their investments more time to grow. It's all online, and setting up an account can take you just 5 minutes. Then you can manage your child's account and monitor their investments right from your phone. Unique gifting lists can be shared with family and friends, so instead of more stuff, they can help grow your child's investments for their future instead. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Start investing in your child today at meetfabric.com/pffcollege. That's meetfabric.com/pffcollege. meetfabric.com/pffcollege. Portfolios managed by Fort Washington Investment Advisors Incorporated. Additional services provided by Apex Clearing Corporation. All investing is subject to risk. Learn more at meetfabric.com. ESPN.com. All right, let's get into more of our top edges in this draft, Dalton. And guys, that we have some in the back half of the top 10, there's some in the top five for the other one. Talk about maybe one of my guys at the top here with Nick Skorton from Texas A&M. I'm spoiling it right now. I have Nick Skorton, edge 3.
Oh,
in this draft.
3.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where do you have him?
Okay. I have him 8, and he's really good. He still might go in the first round. That's just how deep this class is.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. I have nothing against Skorton at all. But
no, you hate him.
UDFA. Oh, no hate. I don't hate anybody. Not till,
what do you like about Skorton? Why maybe you're a little lower than I am?
I think there's a tweener thing here, not so much as like size or something like that with Jalen Walker, but it's. I need to figure out where he's more comfortable. Yeah. I think, I'm pretty sure, he's more comfortable in the role he played at Purdue as a two-point, on-his-feet, stand-up, wide edge rusher who can get the momentum going off the edge and then get into that patented spin move, of course, right?
Because
he goes through the spin cycle more than your laundry machine, so that's a thing for sure. But, no, look, I like Skorton a lot. I think he can be explosive. I like him better in that stand-up outside edge rusher role, right? I think, you know, he even talked about the role at A&M was a little bit different for him, right? But when he gets in a three-point stance, I think when he has to line up in tight spaces, say in a closer 7 technique, closer, you know, to a tight end or an offensive tackle, or even head up over an offensive tackle, I just don't see him. It's like he needs that space, that extra space to be explosive, and that's where he likes to operate, is out in space, even though, you know, as big as he is, you would think it would be the other way around, like Shamar Stewart, where he wants to play in the mud like that. I don't think Skorton necessarily wants to do that. I would feel more comfortable about him as a two-point stand-up edge rusher. I think there's times when his pad level is a little bit high, and there's times with the style that he plays, because he likes to get downhill, right? I think that, for me, is a big theme, is as a pass rusher or a run defender, he likes to get downhill. He has an idea of how to work around blockers, sometimes isn't always willing to be the most physical guy, and there's times where he can sell out into the backfield and give away contain. So, I do think he's really good. I think he very well could be a late first-round pick. Absolutely. I think, again, Washington at 29, Detroit at 28, and he knows, even the Eagles at 32, we've talked about. I think he would fit in a lot of places. I think he would fit in best in a two-point stance. Leave him on the edge, and he is a bigger presence who still could work on setting the edge a little bit harder, but there's certainly talent there. It's not that I don't like him. It's just that, again, this is a talented, talented group that we have, and I do have that kind of tweener position question more so, not like we have with Walker because of size.
Yep.
He's got the size to play anywhere. He just looks more comfortable as that two-point, almost like as a finesse edge rusher. He looks more comfortable despite his build.
It's funny because he's a finesse edge rusher despite being, you know, playing at 280 pounds last year, which is crazy. But so you have him edge 8, I have him edge 3. I still am a big fan of Nick Skorton. I will say edge 3 for me is a pretty distant edge 3. It's a top 2 and then everyone else for me at least. But he plays at 280, man. He carries it very well. He actually came in at the combine at 257 pounds. So I'm excited to see what he could do at that size. That is actually his playing weight for now. I'm excited what he could do there. But like you mentioned, nasty spin move, line up anywhere in the D-line, deep bag of moves already with both power and finesse moves at his disposal, and a 91 pass rushing grade over the last 2 years and a 79 run defense grade. Now, he has shorter arms, only 33-inch arms. That's 29th percentile for edge rushers. And, of course, he wasn't nearly as effective at A&M this past year as he was at Purdue the year before. But like we said, Shamar Stewart, some of it can be explained, and he actually said this at his combine podium, wasn't really allowed to be a guy that could pin his ears back and go after the quarterback at Texas A&M like he was able to do at Purdue, where he had an unreal year at Purdue. He was more of a read and react player at Texas A&M. It's kind of the same conversation we had with guys like Trayvon Walker and guys like Mikel Williams and guys like Shamar Stewart. Okay, how good are they as pass rushers, or what were they allowed to be as pass rushers? At least with Skorton compared to those other guys, we've seen it before at Purdue. We've seen him have an elite pass rush season at Purdue. So I think it is in there. I just think it was more his numbers this year were more due to this situation at Texas A&M more so than his ability at Texas A&M. So again, his stock has taken a hit from last year. There's no denying that. Like he entered the year as maybe edge 1 for some people in the NFL draft, and now he's going to be maybe a late first round, early second round pick. But I really think that a lot of his quote-unquote down year, he still was a pretty good player overall. A lot of it could be attributed to this, the scheme and situation at A&M. So really productive player, good athletic traits, and a deep bag of moves already. I'm still a big fan of Nick Skorton, and that's why he's still edge 3 for me in the draft.
Yeah, I'm certainly a fan. I mean, not edge 3 is – that's a statement. I will give you that one. I think for me what it would be is – and I think it is actually good to see him play – in a different role with some level of success like he did at A&M, the blueprint for me would be the Purdue tape.
Yeah.
That would be the blueprint. And then if I need him to do things like that, like he did at A&M with his hand in the dirt and reading, reacting and things like that, then I will complement it with that. I don't want to make what he had to do at A&M the base of his tape. The 2023 Purdue tape is elite stuff, especially as a pass rusher. That would be the blueprint for me, and I would stick with that and then work it from there and continue refining him down in tight spaces from there.
All right, Dalton, the other guy who is not in my top five that is in your top five is Mike Green from Marshall. I have at edge 6 in this draft. Where is he for you?
I was actually surprised because I did one last review of these edge guys before I made these rankings. I was surprised that he actually came out ahead of James Pierce Jr. as edge 2.
Wow. Okay, tell me more about him. Why are you a big fan of him?
All right, so we're just going on the field here because we know there's certain past allegations and background checks that are going around with Mike Green and his character off the field. I'm just going on the field here just to throw that out there. Oh boy, there's not a lot not to like here. I mean, he's explosive, especially up on 2 feet. I think his balance is a plus. You rarely see him lose his feet and end up on the ground. Got a relentless attitude. I mean, he plays all the way through the whistle every single snap. You see the arsenal of pass rush moves. You see his ability to dip. Sometimes the get off, obviously, at the Sun Belt level was just too good. But even in games, say, against an Ohio State this year, he was really good. I mean, he is a problem. He is somebody who makes quarterbacks speed up, right? Yeah. You're talking about power. You're talking about speed. You're talking about bend. You're talking about an ability off the edge to change direction off 1 foot, which there's other guys, especially some bigger guys, that don't have the ability to do that. It came down to the polish, and it sounds weird because, again, it's a Sun Belt player that we're putting up on this pedestal in first-round territory. The polish that I want James Pierce Jr. to have, because I think they're possibly equally as good athletes, Mike Green has it. He's got the whole arsenal. I think he's got everything. The only things I have for him as far as negatives, I think tackling could be better for sure. He's so 100 miles an hour all the time that actually there's moments when I need him to like just throttle it down just a little, play a little more in control. But I would rather have a guy that I need to slow down a little bit from the way he plays than a guy who I need to like finish plays and speed up and get to play it. Like, again, the Shamar Stewart thing where I go, I need you to finish plays. Mike Green will finish every play sometimes to a little bit of a reckless level. And even, you know, in run defense, there are times when he's more worried about just kind of tunnel vision into the guy blocking him and beating his block than he is about, okay, getting to the football. But all of that stuff, to me, is coachable, aside from maybe the tackling, because he doesn't have the longest arms in the world, right? That might be a thing when it comes to tackling, especially bigger running backs and things like that. But he's a complete player. I really think so. Obviously, again, the character concerns, the off-field stuff is going to play into the final evaluation and where he gets selected. But talent-wise, if that all checks out and a team feels comfortable with that, especially in the latter, I think I sit here and think about the Lions at 28. If a team like that feels like it checks out and they're comfortable with it, you're getting a super talented player in Mike Green. And I think, I don't know, again, I don't know if that part, as you said, edge 6 you have him at. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that played a part into those rankings or if you just feel like, okay, the jump in competition or what have you. But I think he's ready to step on an NFL field and start.
It's a little bit of both. So anyone who's a little concerned or, you know, questioning what we're talking about with the off-field stuff and why we're mentioning it so much with Mike Green, he has two separate sexual assault allegations, one of them stemming from high school and one of them stemming from his time at Virginia, which is a big reason why he had to transfer to Marshall. So obviously serious stuff with Mike Green that you got to watch out for, and teams will obviously do their homework on him as they prepare to bring him into the locker room, because obviously you're not just drafting a player to your team, you're drafting a human being to your locker room as well. So that's obviously pretty serious stuff from Mike Green. We're not going to cover it too much more in depth. That's what we're talking about here with Mike Green and why it's become a big talking point for his scouting report. But in terms of on-the-field production, man, you can't get much better, right? He has 90-plus PFF grades in each of the last 2 years, 92 pass rush grade over the last 2 years, 92 run defense grade over the last 2 years. An explosive first step, violent player, motor does not stop. And I had some level of competition concerns. I still have a little bit of that, but he eased them a little bit with a pretty strong week at the Senior Bowl too, right? So going up against some elite players at the Senior Bowl, and he was one of the better players there. So I think that's a big thing with him. And then the negatives for him, besides the off-field stuff, is he got shorter arms. He only has 32-inch arms. That's fifth percentile for edge rushers. Sometimes a false step in his get-off, I've noticed at times too. and then low-level competition in the Sun Belt. And even when he played Ohio State, and many people say, oh, well, if he did well against Ohio State, that's good because they got Josh Simmons. He only had one pass rush snap against Josh Simmons. He had most of it on the right tackle for Ohio State in that game. So, again, pretty serious off-field questions to answer, but the talent is there on the field to warrant a look in the first round, and he's been a really, really productive player over the last 2 years from Marshall. It's just, besides the off-field stuff, it's just the level of competition. I have a little bit of question marks with him compared to some of the other guys who pretty much graded as well as he did. He did it in the Sun Belt. Some of the other guys did in the SEC and Big Ten. That's why I had those guys a little bit higher than
him. If he, I'll be honest with you, after watching him again, it could be the same case with James Pierce Jr., who we'll get to in a bit anyway. If he didn't have the off-field questions, I think he would go in the top 16. I think he'd go in the top half, even if it's Atlanta at 15, Arizona, even the
Cowboys. He's currently 16 on the consensus board, so he might still go top.
Right. He may still. Dallas at 12, it would be another thought if they want somebody like that. I think certainly he's got top 15, 16 talent. That's the part where I watched him and I see a little bit more polished than James Pierce. And that moved him ahead. It's very, very close. I had a hard time because I knew you were gonna be like, wow, you actually went with Green ahead of Pierce. But talent wise, he's fantastic. Again, the level of competition, he was so dominant that I'm not as worried about it as I would normally be.
Yeah. So let's get to another guy, Dalton, that we both have in our top five now. So we have guys that we both have in the top five that we're talking about now. One of them is Jack Sawyer, the edge rusher from Ohio State. I'm a big fan of this guy, man. I can't quit him. I know a lot of people are lowering him on the board and think he's more of a second or third round pick. I really like him. I think he's the best run defending edge in this class. His fundamentals are so sound. He's a very strong player. 89.5 run defense grade in the Big Ten over the last 2 years. He uses really good power moves to get after the quarterback, and 91 pass rush grade over the last 2 years. His motor runs hot all the time, pregame, during the game, even postgame. You saw the Michigan stuff. His motor is always running hot for Jack Sawyer, and obviously veteran leader of an Ohio State team that won a national championship. He made that big play against Texas in the semifinal where he strip sacked Quinn Ewers on fourth and goal that would have tied the game, ran it back for a touchdown that really put it away. He's a veteran leader of an Ohio State team that won a national title too. So you're getting a high character guy in your locker room. Now, the negatives with Jack Sawyer and why people would be a little bit lower on him: third percentile arm length, very short arms, 31.75 inches, 31 3/4. Not a lot of pass rush moves outside of power moves either. Doesn't really have great bend at his size, and does not make many plays in the backfield as a run defender. He's more of a guy who sets the edge really well in the run game. So kind of an opposite of Princely Monmielen, where he's either going to make a play in the backfield or not do anything as a run defender. Sawyer is more of a guy who set the edge really well in the run game, but not really make too many tackles for loss. But that's the only question mark in his run defense. That's really it with him. But one of the highest floor players in this class. Really good fundamentals, incredibly sound in all areas. He's going to be a dominant force as a run defender, going to set the edge in the run game, and has excellent pass rush production at Ohio State too as a power rusher. So I get the concerns with Jack Sawyer, but I think, you know, third round talk is way, way too low for him. I would consider him somewhere late first round, maybe even early second round.
No, I think so. I'm with you. I think he should be one of the first at least 40 to 45 players selected, and I think it feels like Sawyer is a guy who, depending on what you value as an evaluator, it says a lot where you would select Sawyer, where a team will select Sawyer in the upcoming draft. It says a lot about what they value in a football player, as opposed to guys who go and tear up the combine and guys who are freak athletes who are unpolished. Jack Sawyer is, first of all, he's just an absolute dog, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's Mr. Ohio. He's going to be the guy. He plays with his heart and soul every single snap. He plays all the way till the whistle. And you mentioned it. Doesn't it just feel like he's always in the middle of something?
Yes.
Right? It felt like every single time Ohio State needed a big play to be made, the Texas play, like you mentioned, beating Cameron Williams, stripping Quinn Ewers, housing it all himself. I mean, it just felt like over and over, Jack Sawyer is that guy who makes those type of plays, right? And I think you mentioned the run defense tape. It's one of my favorite things to watch in this draft. Yeah. It's just so darn fundamentally sound. And even with the shorter arms, he knows how to work around it right now. There are times, I think, as a pass rusher, he's willing to get into an offensive lineman's chest a little bit too much. Sometimes he kind of has to with shorter arms. He's not going to beat anybody with length, right? But I think you have a guy who is more fundamentally sound than he's given credit for, right? The Arsenal needs some work, and he's probably closer to a B athlete than an A one, but he's such just a good, well-taught football player, and he's a guy who plays first of all the way to the whistle every snap. And second, if you notice, if one thing you notice in run defense, three things I always look at when you're talking about players at any position: feet, hands, and eyes. Mm-hmm. Okay, his eyes are always on the football. He is constantly aware of where the football is at all times and where he needs to get to, and kind of that controlled manner that I told you, like, I'd rather see a Mike Green or a Nick Skorzen play with sometimes. Jack Sawyer plays in control at all times. You never see him do things that take him out of place or out of where he needs to be. So again, I could understand him being a second round pick based on, okay, he's more of a fundamentally sound player than an explosive one, but there could be a team that sees him as a late first rounder going, okay, I can get maybe 8 to 10 sacks out of him as a pass rusher. He's a really good run defender despite the short arms, and he's, you mentioned it, you talk about high character guys, Jack Sawyer is it. I mean, he's a leader. He's an absolute dog, and I think somebody in the top 50 is going to get a really good player in him.
And dude, if somehow we could fall to Dallas in the second round and they can get him to pair up with Parsons, that's the dream.
I think there's plenty. You're right. If they went to some other position, if they went offensive line in the first round or receiver or something like that, I think it's absolutely an option. Anywhere from 20 to 50, I wouldn't be that shocked with Sawyer, but I think he's going to be a good player in the NFL.
I'm a huge fan of him. He's currently edge 10 on the consensus board. We have him both in the top five of our rankings as well. So big fan of Jack Sawyer. Another guy that we're big fans of, Dolan, that I have at edge 5 and you have at edge 4, is Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College. What do you like about him?
You want pressure?
Yeah.
This is pressure right here. This is someone squarely in the category of pass rusher of a guy that just knows what he's doing, right? And you see, as you watch games in sequence, and you could watch one game, and it was his very last one against Pitt the last week of the season, 14 pressures and 4 sacks in one game. It brings you back to Aiden Hutchinson against Ohio State, right? That legendary game he had. But Ezeraku, when you watch him in sequence, and he's got a very long arms for his size, because he's only, what, about 6'1", 6'2", the combination of length, hand usage, lateral quickness. He can cross an offensive tackle's face like nothing, like with ease. I'm telling you, he can get to the inside gap, and he's got a plan at all times. When you watch him throughout a game in sequence, and he goes from one move to the next, and then the ghost moves, and then the spin moves. I mean, just the entire arsenal layers itself off of each other, right? And you're talking about a guy, I think the one of the things I wrote in my notes here was, don't let him get hot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know those pass rushers who it's like you can feel them all of a sudden, they find that rhythm, and then it feels like they're getting pressure every single play for a quarter and a half? Like, Ezeraku is that guy. Now, I think his first step vertically up the field is average to maybe above average. I think his lateral quickness is a little better than his straight line speed, let's say. I think there's times when he could be a little high with the pad level, working inside in the run game or the passing game. And I think sometimes he'll sell out just a little bit too much on read options. He's really the guy that you can attack because he wants to come down and make plays. He can get a little antsy in open space. But if you want a pass rusher, I know Travis talked about him for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a lot, probably because he wants him down there, which would make a lot of sense. You're talking about a guy who, again, I think about, like, he's one of these heat check pass rushers.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense, where it's just like you don't want to be sitting there dropping back when Donovan Ezeraku's off the edge and he gets the sequence going multiple plays in a row. He's really good. I'll be honest with you. He's very, very good. I think he's going to help a team's pass rush a lot.
He is kind of the Liatu Latu of this year's draft.
It's a good call.
Where it's just like there is nobody in this draft that has a better pass rush plan than Donovan Ezeraku. There are freakier players, and we'll get into the guys later on, like Abdul Carter and James Pierce Jr. and other guys who are just freak athletes. Ezeraku is he's a good athlete. He's above average, whatever. But nobody has a better plan as a pass rusher than Donovan Ezeraku. That's what made Liatu Latu the top edge in last year's draft, was he had the better plan than anyone else. And both Latu and Ezeraku, really good run defenders as well.
And you know what guys like that do? Like those freak athletes, right? We're going to get to Carter and Pearson, those guys. They make quarterbacks nervous. You know what a guy like this does? Hmm. They make offensive tackles nervous.
Yeah.
Because what's coming next? And they have to play this. They have to play. It's almost like a boxing match.
Like, right? Cat and mouse, yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking about, he's setting up. He starts with the jab, and he's setting up some sort of other move, and then he's moving inside it. It makes offensive tackles nervous. And when football players are on a field and they have to think, and they have to think about what's coming at them, they're a little bit slower, right? Yep. Ezeraku just has this entire arsenal, this whole plan just burned into it, right? And he's got the sequences right. When you watch him, again, you almost have to watch an entire game in sequence, or two, three games in sequence instead of just highlights, to really appreciate what he does. It's going to be – I think he's going first round at this point. The stock's rising. And, again, I think his lateral agility and what he showed at the combine and the cone drills, that jumps on tape. Again, forward, straight downhill, decent explosiveness. Laterally crossing lineman's face, getting down the line of scrimmage to the football – I think he's as quick as any lineman, any defensive lineman, I should say, in this draft. I think Ezeraku is going to be a first-round pick and a really good one.
You're talking about boxing stuff. I know you're taking boxing classes around. Do you try to have like a plan like that when you're
– Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Set it – look, the great ones will always say it. Muhammad Ali would say you set it up with the jab, and then you work off everything else off of that.
How's it working right now?
Pretty good. Yeah. I think we're getting in a little bit better shape.
We'll get there.
Still, it was a while since I had worked out. We're working on the endurance. Hey, I got a whole draft weekend of show to get ready for. I better be in shape for it.
I know. We're gonna be in rough shape for the draft show. We're gonna be on all 3 days of Trevor Sycamore, all 4 days. Actually, we're gonna do a Sunday show as well with Trevor Sycamore. So we're excited for that. But it's gonna be a long weekend for draft weekend. But obviously, Ezeraku, I mentioned before, his elite passers plan, great hands. He's just a very smart player as well. Awesome at the Senior Bowl. He was awesome at the Senior Bowl. I think he really boosted his stock there. Natural pad level, 6'3", and he's got 34-inch arms. That's 69th percentile for edge rushers. So even though he's a little shorter, he has longer arms. He actually has like a perfect build. I'd rather have a shorter edge with longer arms because that means you get the pad level and you can have the length to disrupt offensive tackles. So he's got the perfect build, I think, for an edge. And then elite bend as an edge rusher as well. And over the last 2 years, 90 pass rush grade and an 87 run defense grade. He is not only just a great pass rusher, he is a good run defender as well. Now, he is a little lighter. He's 248 pounds, not the best when he's taking on pulling blocks, and just an above average athlete overall at the combine. Not anything special, but high floor player, great pass rush plan, the best pass rush plan in this class. Really good fundamentals as a pass rusher and run defender. Maybe not the highest ceiling in the NFL due to, you know, the lack of top end athletic traits and the power. But he's a strong fit, I think, for a 3-4 defense as an outside linebacker. He's a high, high floor player, too. So, again, guys that Dalton and I really like are the high floor players that we've seen great tape of. Donovan Ezeraku had great tape. And actually, Dalton, I made him my first team All American edge rusher alongside Abdul Carter because he was that good for BC last year.
It's reasonable. Year. Look, Arizona Cardinals, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Green Bay Packers. I think it's former head coach Jeff Hafley is their defense coordinator. Yeah. And you know what? I'll say this much. If he doesn't have enough momentum to go that high, do not let him go to Philadelphia.
Oh God!
Do not let Donovan Ezeraku drop to Philadelphia. If you want to make your own life harder, don't let him drop to 32. Because I'll tell you, and I know the Lions at 28 are going to be a thing as well. Hutchinson's often standing up in that defense, but that's a player right there where I look at it and I go, if he ever dropped to 32, we would just all throw our hands up.
He is exactly number 32 on the consensus board right now. So that might be a possibility. That would be incredible.
The ball's in your court, other 31 teams.
That would be insane. Like him or Nick Scorza tonight, they would just be unreal fits for that defense because it feels like both those guys could be around that range. In the draft, another guy, Dalton, could be around that range. I have edge 2 and you have edge 3 is our guy, James Pierce Jr. From Tennessee. Just a ridiculous get-off. The best get-off in this class. His first step is out of this world. He ran a 4.47 in the 40-yard dash at the combine. That is 97th percentile. 1.56 second 10-yard split. That was 93rd percentile for all edge rushers. And his pass rush production over the last 2 years is off the freaking charts. 92.5 pass rush grade since 2023. Only Laiatu Latu was better in the Power 4. 22.4% pressure rate over the last 2 years. Best in the nation. And he still was that good as a pass rusher without many pass rush moves to speak of as well. So that's really points to a high ceiling. If he could develop more moves, you could see an even higher ceiling for James Pierce Jr. as a pass rusher. And another thing I love about James Pierce Jr. this year, got a lot stronger in the run game as a junior. He had an 84 run defense grade in 2024. Year before, 68 run defense grade in 2023. So really his biggest negative, he fixed it, at least for a big part of it, this past year. Now the weaknesses is he's only 245 pounds, still not the best at setting the edge in the run game. Made a lot more plays in the backfield. Not as flexible as you'd expect for an athlete like him. I think his bend is only just okay for someone who's athletic as him. And again, like it's a double-edged sword. The pass rush moves are a good thing because he's that good as a pass rusher in the SEC already without many moves, but also you got to develop those moves in the NFL as well to work as well in the NFL. So he's winning mostly off athleticism right now, but ridiculous athleticism, multiple years of elite production in the SEC. I would consider him in the top 10. I would love him in Carolina at number 8 overall, but it seems like he's going to fall to the back half of the first round right now, Dalton. Like the consensus board says, he's number 19 on the consensus board right now. I don't really understand how some people are putting Jalen Walker over him. It's kind of like, oh, Jalen Walker can maybe become like a guy like James Pierce Jr. I don't really get it. They're both athletic players. One of them, though, was actually a production in the SEC. The other one, you're more projecting in the SEC right now. So I like Pierce a lot, and I still think he's a top 10 player-ish in this class, and I think he's my number 2 edge in the class.
I have him third. I think the lack of polish a little bit, again, is what put him behind Green. It's extremely close. Trust me, I sat there for several minutes thinking about, like, should I actually do this or not? But I think there is a long way to go in Pierce's development. I want to jump real quick on a stat that I saw earlier in the week, and I wanted to jump at you again with the run defense, okay? And it sometimes it's guys making flashy plays on the ball and charging in the backfield and taking gambles, right? That's not quite the case with Pierce this year. You're talking about only a negative grade on only 3.8% of his run defense snaps this year. The only two guys that, first of all, that was the sixth best by any edge player in the country.
Wow.
And the only two guys in the class that had a lower one were Prince Amon Mielen and Josiah Stewart, which is also interesting when you talk about a smaller edge defender defending the run, but we'll get to him later. James Pierce Jr. has all the talent you could ever ask for.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're missing the polish. I think he could use a little more upper body strength. I think when you see the speed to power come into play, it's from his legs. It's from his lower half. He's very, very strong. But I think that's what it is he's, again, see ball, get ball. And I think he needs a little more upper body strength. And I think there's just that lack of a process, right? Can we do the things that I've just talked about with Donovan Ezeraku? Can we do some of those things to develop? Because he's got immense top 10 talent in this draft. Honestly, when you look at the get off and the athletic profile, remember the pick six against Iowa in the bowl game too? I mean, he can do so many things for you. I think at the very least, he's Dallas Turner, right? Who I think is a player, again, speed-based player, a little bit smaller, can drop into coverage, can do a lot of things for you. I think at the least he's Dallas Turner, and at the ceiling, he could be darn near as good as the guy we're going to talk about in the number one spot, but he's got to be able to develop that process. I do think get a little bit stronger, add a few pounds of upper body muscle there in there, but the speed, the get off, there's times when we see those inside moves that you go, man, I don't even know how you block this guy. All the potential in the world, absolutely. Got to develop.
Yeah.
Got to be willing to develop, right? I think this year you mentioned it, much more fundamentally sound in run defense, and that's what you see from most of the tape is, okay, he's just where he needs to be, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with doing your job. Bill Belichick's mantra, right? I mean, that's just fine. Now it's just about adding that process and getting him. He's nowhere near his potential.
No.
Right now. Right this minute? No. Right this minute, this is kind of where I was at. Right this minute, I think Mike Green is better than him. James Pierce has every bit of the potential over the next few years to be maybe even edge one in this class eventually. It's going to be tough to take over the top guy, but that's the type of athletic potential we're talking about with him. Just add a little more polish. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to be an A-plus pass rusher in the league.
That's what I love about Pierce, though, is that he is such a dominant pass rusher in the SEC over his true sophomore and true junior years. And he still has a long way to go.
It's a long way to go.
Which is just like that, again, is a negative, but also it's a positive, just thinking, man, what could he look like if he develops, right? That's a big thing with Pierce, and why I still love him as my number two edge in this class, is that there's a long way to go, but yeah, he was still extremely productive. Like, there's a long way to go for Shamar Stewart. Doesn't have the production that James Pierce Jr. did.
Right.
Right, so that's really the conversation that I think we're having with these edge rushers right now. But Dalton, the guy at number one, the consensus number one, I haven't seen a single person rank any other guy at the top of this edge class other than Abdul Carter.
Easy as can be.
Easy one as can be. The edge rusher from Penn State. What is there to love about Abdul Carter?
Okay, so... all of the positive things that we've said about the previous nine guys, just put them into this one. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, you watch him, and again, only 1 year full-time as an edge defender at Penn State. I mean, it's everything. The closing speed, just like James Pierce Jr. has, he covers ground like nobody's business. The bend that you talk about, and again, I talked about earlier, the ability for a pass rusher, even when he's kind of not necessarily getting by in his first move, but Carter's ability to bend and dip his shoulders to constantly win the battle of pad level, especially around the corner, is unbelievable. He's got the arsenal of moves like we've talked about with Ezeraku. I mean, he is so ahead of the curve. He's a good backside run defender. When you talk about as a former linebacker, maybe he wasn't a great run defending linebacker, but he at least has an idea of what things look like down. I talked about I forget who it was I was talking about with working down the line of scrimmage better earlier, but Abdul Carter does all, and then he's still athletic enough to drop into coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it reminds me very much of the running back class where we got a deep class. We got a stable of talent, right? But Ashton Jensen's the best one.
Yeah.
Same thing here. There's a boatload of defensive linemen, boatload of edge players in this class, and Abdul Carter's clearly the best one. It just, yeah. Everything. I think the only thing I have on him, honestly, throw on like 6 or 8 pounds more of muscle so you can do just some of the more powerful things when you talk about a bull rush or engaging pullers or setting a hard edge. But outside of that, that's about it. Just getting the NFL weight room for 2 years. I really think by the end of his rookie contract, Carter's got the talent to be a top 5 pass rusher in the NFL. That's where we're at. And again, going through the final eval again, I was like, look, there's nothing he can't do.
Yeah,
there really isn't. And I mean, we talk about all these other guys and certain flaws and certain traits, and Carter's the closest thing in this group that feels like a sure bet, right, to be just an elite player.
Yeah, dude, it's funny you say, like, he's clearly the best one. I think there's like 3 positions in the NFL draft that are just ridiculously loaded: running back, D tackle, and edge rusher. And even though they have unreal depth and really good players at the top, there's still a clear cut number one guy for each of those, yeah. Right? Mason Graham for D tackle, Abdul Carter for edge rusher, and Ashton Jeddah for running back. I think all 3 of those guys are like top 5 players in this class. Carter, 99th percentile gas score, extremely unreal athlete, absurd explosiveness, speed, and bend. First year playing edge rusher, he had a 92 pass rush grade and nearly a 23% pass rush win rate, again, at the top of the country as well. And listen, a thing I love from Abdul Carter this past year, he played through injuries, man, right? He had a shoulder injury he had in the Boise State Fiesta Bowl. A lot of talk about whether or not he's going to play in the Notre Dame game, the semifinal game. He was playing hurt in that game. He had the Darth Vader meme going on all the time, too.
He was the best player on the field with one arm.
With one arm. He's a psychopath. Nuts. He's got the mentality that you love from him as well. Like, he is a guy that wants to go out there and just kill offensive linemen and quarterbacks out there. So he's a psychopath with unreal athletic traits as well. The thing with him, if you're going to find any negatives, not great length, I don't think, for the position. Can sometimes be overwhelmed by longer and more powerful tackles, especially in the run game. And he's a 20% missed tackle rate in his career. Not really the best technique as a tackler. And his lack of length and strength sometimes show up there as well. But listen, he was the best edge in America only in his first year of playing edge as well. All the athletic gifts in the world to be a fearsome pass rusher in the NFL. And he could just be getting started. Now, listen, there's a lot of people comparing him to Micah Parsons because the easy ones, right? He played at Penn State. Both were linebackers, transitioned to edge rushers, and both wore number 11. But they actually, those comparisons make a lot of sense outside of the fact that they play for the same team, wore the same number, and the same career arc, because they are very similar players in terms of how they are as pass rushers, how athletic they are, and honestly, the same exact career arc as well. I think we're talking about a potential Micah Parsons-level player, and Micah Parsons, like you said, Dolan, is a defensive player of the year candidate every single year he's out there. Could be getting that with Abdul Carter.
You could. I mean, is it an easy comparison? Sure. Is it proper? Yeah. Absolutely. I think
it's not just helmet scouting with
this,
that.
This alone should tell you enough about his talent. The Titans were last in the league in passing grade and desperately need a quarterback to function in any way as an organization, and yet they're still considering Abdul Carter with first overall pick. That's how good Abdul Carter is. I mean, he can be the type of pass rusher, like I talked about with Parsons, and we, again, Bosa and Garrett and those guys we talk about all the time, that can just change your whole defense single-handedly. I mean, hell, would the Browns still consider him and pair him with Garrett at 2?
Yeah.
I mean, if they think he's that good, then just screw it. We'll just do it that way. We'll just win with our pass rush, and that's it. I mean, when you get a pass rusher that's truly in consideration for the number one overall pick, there's a reason for it. And Carter, again, you mentioned it. 1 year full-time as an edge rusher. Was he great blitzing as a linebacker? Absolutely. That's why he moved over. But I don't think there's a whole lot of flaws. I think get him a little bit stronger so he can set that hard edge, and, man, you're set.
And listen, it was his first year playing edge. Who's to say there's not another level he could tap into as he continues to develop? Like, that's the craziest. It's not like he's playing edge his whole career and then this is his breakout year. No, this is his first year playing edge.
He adds a little bit more strength. I don't know. I don't really know what else to say about him at that point. He was a lot going back in. See, now I thought again, I was like, okay, was he just that much better an athlete? No, this is a complete football player. This is a special football player, Abdul Carter is. And again, among this talented group, all these guys that we just mentioned who have extreme levels of talent, clearly the best one.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go over our top 10s really quickly, Dolan, before we get out of here. What is your top 10 edges in the draft?
All right, my top 10. I had Jared Ivey from Ole Miss as my sleeper. His teammate from Ole Miss, Princely Umanmielen, at number 10. Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M at number 9. Nick Scorton, his teammate from Texas A&M, at number 8. Jalen Walker and Michael Williams at 7 and 6, both from Georgia. Jack Sawyer from Ohio State at 5. Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College at 4. Tennessee's James Pierce Jr. at 3. Marshall's Mike Green, number 2. And, of course, Abdul Carter, number 11 from Penn State, number 1.
Love that. All right, my sleeper in this class was Ashton Gelati from Louisville at number 10. Princely Monmielen, again, from Ole Miss at number 9, Michael Williams from Georgia, another Georgia player at number 8, and Jalen Walker at number 7, Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M at number 6, Mike Green from Marshall at number 5, Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College at number 4, Jack Sawyer from Ohio State at number 3, Nick Scorton from Texas A&M at number 2, James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee, and of course number 1, Abdul Carter from Penn State. So it's the first time we're doing a defensive ranking here for the 2025 NFL Draft. Obviously, I have plenty more videos coming out surrounding the draft with more rankings positionally, maybe our big boards later on in the year. Of course, plenty more mock drafts as we get closer to the NFL Draft, about a month and a half away right now. So make sure you guys subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any of that. And of course, it's still the PFF College Football Show. We have plenty more videos coming out surrounding the 2025 college football season as well. So a lot of great content coming out on this channel very soon. So make sure you guys subscribe to the channel so you don't miss a single one of them. For Bruce or Eli, back there for Dalton Wassman, I'm Max Shadwick. We'll see you guys next time.